You found the number one internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
You're listening to the Maria Sanchez Show on LA Talk Radio and MariaSanchezShow.com.
Good morning. This is Maria Sanchez, and welcome to the Maria Sanchez Show, heard weekdays at 9 o'clock at LATalkRadio.com and later for your downloading abilities at MariaSanchezShow.com and TheMariaSanchezShow.com. Please go to our Facebook page at TheMariaSanchezShow.com and like us. We like to be liked, and we're working at breaking 200. We've just been starting to promote that. And want to thank all of you for listening, and thank you if you're new to the program. The Maria Sanchez Show is a conversation, not a confrontation. As soon as I hear voices escalating or people speaking over one another, I turn the channel or flip the switch or whatever. I live that way and broadcast that way. So we have intelligent conversations here, hopefully, and I will never have two folks on that disagree with one another. And why is that? Because I believe everybody has the right to their opinion. As long as you're intelligent and articulate and animals and children are not being harmed, I'd like to hear what you have to say. And so for that reason, you'll hear somebody on their soapbox and then somebody else on their soapbox, never engaging with one another. And that's because I believe that everyone has their due, and then you can, with that information, knowledge is power, you can make your own decisions accordingly. On the program this morning, we have our medical correspondent visiting with us. He is such a breath of fresh air. He is a physician and an attorney. He resides in Chicago, and he will speak with us about medical issues that are in the news. He's going to be speaking with us about New Jersey Governor Chris Christie's announcement yesterday that he had lap band surgery in February. We also have a teen in the news who has built a website to empower teens. She's going to visit with us. And the folks at Casa Pacifica are going to visit with us later in the program because they're having their annual wine event, and we want and help try to promote as many activities and philanthropic endeavors as possible. But the top five news stories, of which three of them really have to be about the developments in the Cleveland women abduction story, plus the six-year-old daughter who was born in captivity. This story is particularly touching me because I would say out of all the roles that I have in my life, don't mean to get emotional, but my identification as a human being on this planet is first and foremost as a mother. My other roles that are daughter and sister and friend, neighbor, colleague, citizen, pale in comparison to the honor that I have of being a mother. I have four children. They are 21, 23, 25, and 27. They are the light of my life. It's because of them that I have a purpose on this planet, and it's because of them that other positions in my life have been second, third, fourth, or fifth, if you will, including even that being a wife / ex-wife. I'm not a wife at the moment. And my career has been intermittent because of that too, because when their father and I divorced, they were 2, 4, 6, and 8, and I had primary physical custody of them 90% of the time. And yes, I had careers and I had juggling, you know, jobs and commutes and et cetera, but I always abdicated to being a mother. And it was my choice. I remember at one point, when my eldest entered high school, and I realized that in 4 years he would be going away to college. I had 14 teenagers for 3 years, and there was never a dull moment. It was something that I reveled in, and I just was like, you know what? This time is going to pass like that, as it does, as they always say. Oh, you know, you get passes quicker than you can imagine, which is true. I wanted to be able to be there and have all those memories. So thank you for indulging me in that. And with Sunday being Mother's Day, I have my sons for dinner every Wednesday evening, so today is no exception. And I always cook them mommy food because they've been out of the house now, all four of them, for 2.5 years. So I've been home alone in the literal sense. And I'm so honored that they make the time and save the day, and we get together on Wednesdays to have dinner. Sometimes it's been Mondays, but this semester, because My third son is in college, and that works best for his schedule. So I make them mommy foods, and that can be spaghetti and meatballs. It can be pesto. It can be meatloaf. It can be all those warm, fuzzy things that you don't usually have on a regular basis. And this week, they let me know that they are going to shop and cook every other week. So tonight is their night, and they said, if you don't mind just doing the dishes, I'm like, that's easy to do. So that's what's in store for me tonight. So there's new developments in the story. Authorities confirmed this morning that they found ropes and chains in the home where the three missing women were held for close to a decade. The chief of police, Chief Michael McGrath, said this morning, we have confirmation that they were bound and there were chains and ropes in the homes. A judge granted police an extension of the city's usual 36-hour window to charge suspects, so they should be charged at some point today. It is Ariel Castro, who lived in the home, 52. His two brothers, Pedro and O'Neill, are also charged, 54 and 50, respectively. The investigators began questioning them last night. And the three women disappeared from the same Cleveland street, Lorraine Avenue, between 2002 and 2004. So 27-year-old Amanda Berry is the one with the daughter. She's the one that escaped. And the neighbor, Charles Ramsey, has become a viral video star, and he was the top topic yesterday on Twitter. And talk about a humble guy. He told CNN's Anderson Cooper last night that he said he hasn't had trouble sleeping until knowing that he had lived for a year near the captive women. His quote is, up until yesterday, the only thing that kept me from losing sleep was the lack of money. I could have done this last year, not this hero stuff, just do the right thing. He claims that he doesn't deserve hero status, that he doesn't want any kind of reward, nor should he receive any. But if you haven't seen or heard the sound bites of him just describing in an interview yesterday to WEWS, it is absolutely delightful, colorful, amazing. I came home yesterday morning and I paraphrased it to my daughter. She's visiting with me for a couple of days. And she just burst out laughing because of his colorful descriptions. His quotes, I've been here a year. You see where I'm coming from? I barbecue with this dude. We eat ribs and whatnot and listen to salsa music. He just comes out to his backyard, plays with the dogs, tinkers with his cars and motorcycles, goes back in the house. So he's somebody you look and then look away. He's not doing anything but the average stuff. You see what I'm saying? There's nothing exciting about him. Well, until today. And then he said that his neighbor got some big testicles to pull this off, bro, because we see this dude every day. I mean, every day. I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Something's wrong here. Dead giveaway. So he's apparently a restaurant dishwasher. And the restaurant in Cleveland posted a message on Facebook saying, we're extremely proud of our employee, Charles Ramsey, for not turning his back on the young women. He's a true Cleveland hero. Our thoughts and prayers will continue to be with the women, their families, and their friends. And then there was a cute tweet, if I can find this, on Twitter from a comedian who said, shucks, I have it here. Darn it. So anyway, it just highlights that how ordinary people can do extraordinary things, or as he said, just do the right thing. And I'm trying still find that tweet, because it was about running into your arms. So you know, we should all. One of my favorite adages is one voice, one vote, and one paycheck. What we do as individuals does matter. It does count. It does add up. And I have this discussion with my sons every now and then, because they're like, what does it matter? You know, if we reduce, reuse, recycle, because that's one of my other mantras. What does it matter if we vote? What does it matter if we stand in line to whatever? And I'm like, it matters. It really matters. In local news, the Ventura County supervisors yesterday okayed unanimously an ordinance that takes effect immediately, requiring actors in pornographic movies to wear condoms. Now, Los Angeles County enacted this condom law last November. A state bill is pending. One of the authors is Assemblymember Jeff Gorell. He's going to visit with us about that shortly. A lawsuit in the federal courts takes up the issue of free speech with the Los Angeles County condom laws, so we'll follow that for you. And yesterday we spoke with a woman who created something called the Forgiveness Project. And if you didn't hear the interview, you might want to hear about the power of forgiveness. Well, apparently the voters in South Carolina have forgiven former Governor Mark Sanford because he won the special election for an open U.S. House seat that he had previously held for three terms. So he was the favorite, and then there was a trespassing case filed by his ex-wife, and when that came into the news, which he's supposed to go to court tomorrow about that, the National Republican Congressional Committee announced it was pulling out of the race, and it seemed like maybe it might be a toss-up, but he has been declared the winner. And finally, the last story, which I find really interesting, Reader's Digest released today a poll of the 100 most trusted people in America. They consulted 1,000-plus folks, and Tom Hanks is at the top of the list. Why would you trust Tom Hanks? So here's the top 10. Tom Hanks, number 2, actress Sandra Bullock, number 3, actor Denzel Washington, number 4, actress Meryl Streep, number 5, poet Maya Angelou, number 6, director Steven Spielberg, number 7, Microsoft Bill Gates, number 8, Alex Trebek, the TV host, Jeopardy, 9, the wife of Bill Gates, Melinda Gates, and 10, Julia Roberts. Those are the top 10 trusted people in America. I out of those top 10, my vote would go to Bill Gates, I guess, because of his business acumen and his creativity, and especially the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation with their philanthropy. But they wouldn't be on the top of my list. And then television personalities were way up there. Robin Roberts, Ellen DeGeneres, Diane Sawyer, Brian Williams, Katie Couric, Barbara Walters, Anderson Cooper, Kelly Ripa, Steve Harvey, Jay Leno, David Letterman. And then doctors were on there. But the higher placed doctors on the 100 most trusted people were the doctors that have television shows. The ones that we might know of through their work or their great work were further down. And then we trust TV judges more than Supreme Court justices. So Judge Judy was the highest of all the judges, and closely followed by Judge Joe Brown, and then the 9 Supreme Court justices. And the most trusted leaders in America, Michelle Obama, she outscored every politician on the list, including her husband. So I don't know who those 1,000 people are, but they don't represent me either. And then finally, a local story before we get with Dr. Michael Applebaum, is tonight Boris Brott, and if you're from Southern California, you may remember him. He's the founding music director and conductor emeritus of the New West Symphony. He is conducting a concert for the Pope tonight in Italy, so it's probably going on now since they're 9 hours ahead of us. But the performance is featuring 2 works by Cardinal Domenico Bartolucci. Bartolucci is turning 96, and this concert is a birthday present from the Pope. So Boris Brott, he stepped down as the artistic director of the New West Symphony in 2002, and he conducted a concert in 2000 for Pope John Paul II, so this is not his newbie one. So the concert is going to be in front of 10,000 people at Pope VI Audience Hall, which is not only in the Vatican City, but obviously in Italy too, and it's going to include 2 works for the person who's being honored. So now, raw live radio, we are going to call Dr. Michael Applebaum. Again, he is a physician and an attorney.
The call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Okay. Michael Applebaum
is not available.
Well, let's see. We'll call him again. I spoke with him last night, so I confirmed this in real time. Oh, there we go.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Michael Applebaum, and welcome to the Maria Sanchez Show. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm terrific, and thank you for joining us. And before we get into the Chris Christie story and the lap band surgery and your take on those kinds of procedures, Please share with our listeners about you and your illustrious career, and thank you again for being a contributor to our program.
It's my pleasure, and hello, of course, to your listeners. Medical doctor, lawyer, have earned 7 fitness certifications, more than any other physician on the planet, I believe. I believe that fitness is the only real preventive medicine. My practice is diagnostic and diagnostic ultrasound and clinical, and that I started a clinic called the Anabolic Clinic here in Chicago and the surrounding suburbs. And beyond that, nothing much to report.
Because you're type A plus super achiever, to mention a few things.
You got to do something with my time.
So let's talk about lap band surgery and gastric bypass surgery and why you think there's a proliferation of it. Based on what I've read, I think they said there was 200,000 of those procedures performed last year. And the interesting thing about Chris Christie, who is in the news because of his announcement yesterday from his office, is that he had the procedure in February, and he's lost about 30 pounds, which is to March, to April, to May. That's 3 months. That's 10 pounds a month. That's like 2 pounds a week. Anybody can do that.
Well, clearly not anybody can do it unless they're willing to do it and commit themselves to doing it. The number of lap band surgeries, actually, for the most recent data, we don't have really good data beyond 2009, but there has been a plateauing of the number of surgeries. We had a huge jump between 2002 and 2003, 64%. But over the last couple years, at least the last couple years of data that we have, it's plateaued. The reason being that some people think it's the recession, because a few of these things come out of pocket, right? You do have to pay some dollars and cents. And also, there have been some public people who've had difficulty. It's a struggle. It's not an easy thing for people to do, even if they have had the surgery. The 1 to 2 pound weight loss per week after a lap band is pretty much the way that it goes. You see much more dramatic weight loss when you have other types of procedures, but for the lap band, that seems to be the way that it is. 1 to 2 pounds per week is considered to be safe by the medical establishment. I don't know that I agree with that, but my agreement has nothing to do with what Governor Christie did.
Well, I know that if it were easy, more people would do it, and there wouldn't be a third of our population that is obese, which I find just staggering that there are that many people that are out of shape and out of overweight. But if you reduce 500 calories from your portions every day, that's 3,500 calories at the end of the week. That's about a pound, right?
Well, I actually have a point of contention with that. And I don't mean to be argumentative with you, but that's been the sort of medical wisdom that's been going around for a number of years, but that is 100% wrong. The only way that that works is if you cut that 500 calories and you lose 500 calories per day as fat, which is a physical impossibility, because 1 pound of fat has 3,500 calories in it. But if you're losing the weight, as most people do, certainly early on in a diet, as lean tissue, and because a pound of muscle only has approximately 600 calories in it, you could be losing 6 pounds of muscle per week at that kind of a deficit. And that becomes one of the problems, because this foundational error when it comes to weight loss has caused many, many people to fail at their dieting. Basically, what happens, in my opinion, is that people are starved into failure. We ask them to cut back too many calories, and they end up failing because they can't sustain it.
So are you saying,
I'm into the perhaps 125 to 250 calories per day cutting back, and people can seem to handle that a lot better. In fact, if you want to really understand, in my opinion, where it is that the weight loss problem, recommendation problem occurs, you need to read the literature when it comes to starvation. If you look how it is that individuals, human beings, try to kill other human beings through nutritional deprivation or cause extreme suffering during times of war, let's say, or in prisoner of war camps, you'll find that the kind of deprivation that we talk about for fat people who have a love affair with calories already is about the same. So most people can't sustain it because most people don't choose to put themselves in a concentration camp or a prisoner of war camp long enough to lose the weight.
So are you saying that when we deprive or we reduce our daily caloric intake, it comes from muscle first?
Absolutely. Lean tissue is the first stuff to go. The body doesn't acclimate for a matter of weeks. And in fact, if you look at the data, you'll see at the beginning of a diet, only about 25% of the weight that you lose comes from fat. The other 75% comes from lean. It isn't for weeks that you start to really have almost all of it coming from fat. And even when you do, it's not all of it. About 15% still comes from lean tissue. There's just no way to lose fat only. And when you front load a diet so it becomes so unsustainable, nobody's just going to follow it. It's a very simple thing. Nobody wants to be in that much hurt.
So what is your methodology for successful weight loss, healthy reductions?
Well, if you look again at the data, you'll see that people become exceedingly unhappy if they cut back their caloric intake, their energy intake, by greater than 10 to 15%. So when I work with individuals or when I do consulting for wellness programs, which are just glorified weight loss programs, basically with a little bit of substance abuse counseling. When I work with individuals or businesses, what we do is try to find ways for people to cut back no greater than 10 or 15%, usually around 10%. And if they can't handle 10%, we cut back 5%, because as long as you consume fewer calories than you burn, you're going to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how these surgeries tend to work, although there are various fancy theories out there, genetic alterations, hormonal changes. Nobody really understands the full scope of the effect of these types of surgeries. But just recently an article came out saying, you know what, it's just people consume fewer calories. And the good proof of that, even though it's, in my opinion, a harmful representation, would be something like Biggest Loser. You know, here are people who allegedly tried everything, which of course is an untrue statement. That has to be a lie, because as long as people consume fewer calories and they burn long enough, they lose the weight. But people allegedly have tried everything, couldn't lose the weight, then all of a sudden, with a monetary prize dangling in front of them and several months of isolation from the rest of the planet except for the other fat people and their trainers, they lose the weight. So it's all calories in, calories out, bottom line.
But what I don't understand is that why it's that simple, and we're not that stupid. So why aren't more people successful?
Well, I'm not sure that we aren't that stupid, or we are that stupid. I can't speak for the rest of the population, and people may think that what I'm proposing is stupid, even though it's with the laws of thermodynamics and holds everywhere in the known universe. But I think that there's a problem because nobody's willing to put forth effort. I shouldn't say nobody. Very few people are willing to put forth effort. And I think that the medical profession and other industries oversell what it is they can do because it's marketing. I mean, I get that. And people are, unfortunately, in my opinion, misled to the point where you have somebody the size of Oprah Winfrey being some sort of trusted advisor when it comes to weight loss. And she chooses individuals who counsel the rest of the nation on how to lose weight. I mean, you know, I'm the kind of guy who doesn't really want a homeless person, no offense to homeless people, telling me how to invest in the market. You know, I'm not interested in somebody who doesn't have arms or legs and being my basketball coach. I just think that it's a bad idea to choose people who are unsuccessful at certain things or cannot succeed at certain things as your advisors.
Now, there is an exception to her rule, and she's my health and fitness correspondent. She's been on Oprah, I think, 5 times, she said. She's lost 175 pounds, run 130 marathons through diet and exercise. But she's the exception, I know, because the sensational ones are the ones that make the news. I actually have a son, and Michael, you might recall that I used to talk about a couple of my sons that were very overweight. One of them has lost 175 pounds through diet and exercise. He went from a triple XL to a men's medium, and I couldn't obviously be more proud of him because I've seen it. It's, you know, it took time for him to gain the weight. He started emotionally eating when his dad and I divorced, and he was 6 at the time. And now he's 25, but it's been over 2 years that he's, regularly restricted his calories and exercised, and it's amazing to watch the transformation in him and his body.
Things take time. Congratulations to him, and it's all going to be calories in, calories out.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else works. Nothing else is going to get you where you want to get.
So is it the funny thing about these procedures and their popularity, if you will, is that it's a quick scheme. But it wasn't quick to put the weight on. In other words, you went from a, say a woman went from a 6 to a 10 to a 14 to a 22 or something sizes, and men with their waists. So I don't, it's funny that to me, it took you that long to put it on. Why wouldn't you want to be patient to take it off?
Because nobody wants to be patient, nobody wants to put out effort, and nobody feels like putting themselves in a position of inconvenience. I mean, you know, if you think you can have a quick fix, then you're going to go for it. But the bottom line with these procedures is they're not quick fixes.
That too.
They're basically tools, and if people were so good at restricting their caloric intake, then they'd be able to do it without having to have these procedures performed. And even when they do have these procedures performed, they find ways around it. These are not benign things. These are not hugely successful things. Other problems occur. Things bite back. When you do one thing, it's usually at the expense of something else. There are addiction issues. There are supplement issues. There are nutrition issues. The three food groups, once you've had these surgeries performed, become protein, water, and supplements. You can't eat the kinds of things that you used to be able to eat before. The amount of volume that you can eat is hugely diminished. We're talking about a max, perhaps for most people, of 4 ounces of food. And you really have to ask yourself, is that food? Because you're not going to be able to eat things that are fibrous, for example. If you eat fiber foods or foods that are high in fiber, it plugs the thing up.
Mm.
So there are whole sets of issues. And of course you're going to see the successes paraded out there, because everybody wants to hear a story with a nice ending. And of course you're going to see the successes paraded out there, because they're better eye candy than people who fail. But the issue, from my perspective, is that we don't give people good advice on how to lose weight to begin with, which is why, in my opinion, many of these procedures are actually malpractice, because you need an informed consent to invade somebody's body like that. And unless you tell them that the diet that they were on, my opinion, was going to fail with near 100% certainty, because it's a starvation diet, the kind of diet that people were suffering from in Dachau, then they can't give you an informed consent. They can't say that they really failed at dieting, because the diet that you put them on was a diet that was doomed to fail from the get-go. Things take time.
Can you explain to our listeners the distinction between the procedures, gastric bypass, the lap band, and then there's something called a gastric sleeve?
Yeah, there are a lot of procedures, but they fall into two categories, and that's probably the best way to look at it. One is a restrictive procedure. So when somebody swallows something, the size of the stomach has gotten so small that they can only do a much smaller portion. The smaller the portion, the fewer the calories, assuming that you're eating basically the same stuff. So, you know, if you move over from a teaspoon of water to a teaspoon of fat, obviously you've increased the calories. But the bottom line is that restrictive procedures prevent more food from getting into the stomach, so you absorb fewer calories. And then there's another type of procedure called a malabsorption procedure, where it is that they take it and they reroute your intestines. So you're sort of on the fast track from your mouth to whatever the septic system is for your residents, because you bypass the intestines by hooking your stomach up directly to someplace further down on the tract. So it goes from your stomach, bypasses the small intestines, for example, and goes directly into your large intestines. That's not exactly how the procedure is performed, but still, that's just to give you the picture. You know, it's like short sheeting of the bed,
mm-hmm,
kind of thing. And then there's some that combine it. So when you have, let's say, the Roux-en-Y, which is R-O-U-X-E and then hyphen E and then the letter Y, when you have that procedure performed, it sort of combines the two. They give you a smaller stomach pouch, and they also speed the food through you, so you don't have time to absorb it.
It sounds barbaric to me.
I think it's an extreme remedy. I think there are better ways to do it, and that's just, you know, my opinion. But clearly some people believe that they can't do it otherwise. It's a marketplace, and I personally have no problem with people undergoing these procedures if they feel that this is what's going to work for them, as long as it doesn't come out of my pocket or yours or anybody else's. Because it could be done much more simply, much cheaper, if they just consume fewer calories than they burn. There's no mystery here.
Do you want to share contact information?
My websites are fitnessmed.com. That's for my fitness consulting firm. And drapplebaum.com for my practices. And anabolicclinic.com for my clinical practice in anabolic medicine.
And we'll post those when we post this interview later today, too.
Okay, thank you.
And
the
pleasure
is in speaking with you, not getting the websites out there. And, of course, your listeners.
Well, thank you, Michael. Thanks for all you do, and I appreciate you making yourself available this morning to chat about this.
My pleasure. Best to you and your listeners.
Thank you, Dr. Michael Applebaum, and we will post his information on the website. So here's the scoop with what we do. We're live at 9 o'clock till 9:50. Then we, here on LA Talk Radio, then we post the show, and that you can find on themariasanchezshow.com and mariasanchezshow.com, so you can listen at your leisure. There is a free app that you can download that's for your iPhone or your Android, and that will help you with listening on demand. So we have all kinds of opportunities for you to be able to avail yourself of the program. And also, we're very open to suggestions for programming. So if there's something that's of interest to you, we try and focus as much as we can on the county of Ventura because everybody overlooks it. But that doesn't mean that we don't talk about Southern California, state, national, and international news, because we do. So no worries in terms of, you know, what we're about. We're about information, and I think information is knowledge. So we're visiting next with a teenager in Newberry Park who is in Ventura County, and she's with she has set up this website, and so we wanted to express and support her in that. So, Jacqueline Lee. This is live, raw radio.
Hey, Jack, I'm not here right now, so I have a message, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
So, I'm going to call her again. This seems to be the norm these days. Jacqueline. You know, she may have given me her house number that I don't have.
Hey, okay. I'm not here right now, so I have a message to get back to you.
Sorry, listeners. So I'll share with you the story. And what it is Jacqueline Lee is her name. She is the current volunteer and youth of the year for the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Greater Conejo Valley. She's launched her own web show entitled This Teen Life, and it's gaining international attention. So the website is designed as a web series by teens for teens. Excuse me. It contains valuable information for teenagers, from relationships to struggles and triumphs and even college admissions. So it's a resource tool for everyone, and we wanted to talk to her about it. And the website, of course, didn't show up on my sheet that I printed. So I apologize. Here we go. So we'll try one more time. So she is she was the 2011 Youth of the Year winner, and she went to the Greater Conejo Valley Boys and Girls Club, and it's a branch of the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Greater Conejo Valley, Sequoia Boys and Girls Club in Thousand Oaks. So we'll try for the third time, and then we will get to other news.
Hey, it's Jacqueline. Okay, I'm not here. So sorry
for that. But we do have another guest from Casa Pacifica visiting us this segment. There's something else local to do. If you know where the Greater Conejo Valley is, that's on the East County side of Ventura County. The Thousand Oaks Police Charitable Foundation is having a mix and mingle with the Chief of Police, Randy Pentis, and that is happening on Thursday, May 16th, which is a week from tomorrow. It's at the Palm Garden Hotel. Tickets are only $25 per person. That has Brendan's Irish Pub and Restaurant Dinner, live and silent auctions, Irish dancers and an Irish dinner. So space is limited. You can purchase the tickets online at supporttopcf.org, and that stands for the Thousand Oaks Police Charitable Foundation. And it's called Mix and Mingle with the Chief of Police, Randy Pentas. So we get to get into other news. Here was a story that I found interesting, and I wanted to mention it to Dr. Michael Applebaum, but we ran out of time. And that is about a man in Phoenix. He had a chronic runny nose, which sometimes went throughout the year. And how often does that happen? I've got something called dry eye syndrome, and it's what the thing is that you'd think dry eye would mean that my eyes would be dry. Well, my eyes know that they're dry, and so they end up producing more tears. This is the Maria Sanchez Show. Good morning.
Hi, this is Jacqueline Lee. How are you doing?
I'm excellent, Jacqueline. Thanks for calling in. I missed you on your cell phone.
Oh.
And you probably gave me another number, and I didn't take that number down. So now you're visiting with us. That's the good news.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, good morning. Jacqueline, you have your own web show and website called This Teen Life. Will you share with our listeners what it is and how they can access it, please?
Yeah, absolutely. What it is it's a show that documents teen adversity. So what I do is I feature stories about different teenagers who have gone through various hardships that a lot of teenagers can relate to and have actually gone through. And it's very easy to go to the website, which is www.thisteenlife.com.
And how did you get the idea to do this?
I've always had a real passion for my peers, and I like to pursue television journalism in the future. So what I did was I thought, you know, since the internet is so accessible these days, I figured why not create something myself? So I really wanted to also help teens that can view it, and if they were going through some sort of hardship, you know, they can watch some of the shows and then say, oh, they went through it, so I can go through it too.
Can you share some of the topics that you're covering?
Yeah, I feature things such as cutting and self-harm, depression, disease, sexual and verbal abuse, and like the pressure of college admissions and things like that.
And how do you find your subjects?
A lot of it was through just people I knew who were willing to share their story. Other people, you know, it's a friend of a friend. And other people will just message me and say, hey, I'd really like to be featured on an episode because I really want to help other people who are going through something that I already went through.
And how do you do it?
What I do is I have my own camera, and I have, you know, the microphone that the subjects speak into. And then what I do is I'll go out, I'll edit, or I'll film everything. And then I take all of that footage back to my Mac, and then I just edit it on an editing software.
And how long are each episodes in general?
Approximately, they're like 5 minutes.
So it's a quick in and out, so it's not requiring a whole bunch of time, and yet it's empowering folks who may be experiencing the same maladies that if somebody else did it, they can do it too.
Yes, correct.
And can you talk about what the Boys and Girls Club meant to you growing up?
Oh, yeah, the Boys and Girls Club has really formed who I am today, because what that organization does is it takes kids and empowers them. And you know, everyone who works there works with the students and the members. And they say, if you have an idea, we will help that idea come to life. And that's basically what they've done for me. They've really helped me, carve my path, especially towards college, and they've been extremely helpful. So I'm really grateful for that.
So where are you in your life now? How old are you?
I am currently 18 years old, and I will be headed to University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, on a full ride this coming fall. I'm really excited because I actually got this scholarship called the Robertson Scholarship. So I'm actually going to be a dual student at Duke University and University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And they just have so many amazing perks that come with the scholarship. So I'm really excited.
And how did you choose that situation, and how did you get the scholarship?
Basically, the scholarship was given to me based off of, you know, my grades, the activities that I've done. And most importantly, I think what got me that scholarship was that I create my own projects. And so, especially with this web show, I built it from the ground up, and they saw how passionate I am about helping other people. And then also, you know, with all my volunteer work with the Boys and Girls Club as well.
And what are you going to study, Jacqueline?
You know, I'd really like to pursue journalism, so I'll probably double major in journalism and something else that I haven't figured out yet, so I'm really excited.
You mean there's some things that are still yet to be decided in your dedicated life?
Absolutely.
Good for you. And the University of North Carolina, how, did you choose that, or did they find you, or how did, I mean, it's so far away. And
yeah, what happened was I actually attended a journalism program over the summer. So, you know, I got to tour the campus. I was working with professors for a week, and I just thought it was a beautiful campus, and I figured, why not just apply? Mm-hmm. And then once I got the scholarship, you know, I was thinking I get to graduate with no student debt, so that's a perk.
That's a major perk. Well, how awesome for you. So, again, it's thisteenlife.com, and do you have other contact information, or can they reach you through the website?
Yeah, it's mostly just the website.
Okay. And is there any topic that you haven't covered that you'd like to cover that we could do a shout-out for?
Yeah, you know, I really want to do homosexuality. I'd like to feature several interviews in one episode, and so it's always just hard to find teenagers who are comfortable talking about that at this age. So that's a topic I'd like to cover.
And do you have an age range that you – I know it says teens, but –
Preferably someone in high school, maybe like the oldest being 2 years after they graduate from high school.
Are there gay clubs on campuses? GLBT sort of thing?
Yeah, not really. I mean, there's the Gay Straight Alliance, but most of the people in there are straight, so.
Huh.
Interesting.
So I was going to say that might be a resource for you. So Jacqueline Lee would like a teen to share their I guess their homosexual identity, or how they came to discover that, or how their orientation was. And it's thisteenlife.com. Jacqueline, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Take care. Have a great day.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye. Jacqueline Lee. And again, what we do is we post all of this information on our websites so that you don't have to take notes while you're listening. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Casa Pacifica. Good morning. Welcome back to the Maria Sanchez Show. Thank you so much for joining us. We have Casa Pacifica on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Kristen from Casa Pacifica. How are you?
I'm excellent, Kristen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We wanted to help get the word out about your amazing event that's occurring this weekend. Is it this weekend?
Actually, no. It's a few weeks away. It's June 2nd.
Yeah,
it's always the first Sunday in June. It's okay.
So it's
the Casa Pacifica Wine and Food Festival to benefit Casa Pacifica Centers for Children and Families. And you've been to the event before, right?
Many times, Kristen. Many times. And starting from when you were at Mandalay Bay, and then now that you're at Cal State Channel Islands.
Awesome. Yeah, so you know how much fun it is.
It is. So first, before we get into the details of the festival, why don't you share with our listeners what Casa Pacifica is and how this benefits Casa Pacifica and the amazing work that you do.
Yeah. We are a center for abused and neglected children and their families. We have a shelter in Ventura County that serves those children that have been abused and taken out of their homes. And we also have a residential treatment facility on a 24-acre campus in Camarillo. So we serve children and families at some of the most difficult times in their lives, but we serve children from Ventura and Santa Barbara counties predominantly. So this Wine and Food Festival is the biggest fundraiser of the year for us, and this money helps us keep the doors open here and provide shelter for these kids.
How is it that a child finds themselves at Casa Pacifica? What's the process like?
It could be that Child Protective Services has taken them out of the home and placed them here as a temporary placement for them until they are able to go back into a safe environment, whether that be with another relative or with a foster care family. So it's meant to be a temporary placement for them and to help them in this really hard transitional period in their lives.
And how long do they stay with you? I know it varies from case to case, but is there a general?
Yeah, it does vary from case to case, but usually not more than a few months in the shelter. Some of the residential treatment kids that live in our group home here, it could be a little bit longer, up to 8 months or a year. So yeah, definitely dependent on the youth, but they have a variety of reasons for coming here. And so we just provide different community programs and services for them and their families.
And I should say from birth till 18, correct?
Correct, yeah. So we serve through 18, and then we've also added on a new program for those transitional age youth who have emancipated the foster care system. And this program really helps them to transition into really being on their own, being able to function well on their own, get into college, rent an apartment, all those necessary things that happen when you turn 18. But without having the support of sometimes without having the support of families, that makes it extra challenging. So we've now developed some new programs for those youth.
And Kristen, I understand that there are avenues for involvement, not just financially, but for someone who might want to volunteer there.
Correct. Yes, we have two volunteer auxiliaries, the Angels and the Amigos. And the Angels Volunteer Auxiliary really helps put on our fundraising events. They help with our wine and food festival and a fashion show we put on and a golf tournament. And then we have the Amigos, and they put on activities for the kids on Saturdays. They do hiking and Pinewood Derby and fun activities where they're having positive interaction. The youth here are having positive interaction with the adult volunteers. So those are some good ways to get involved. And then also we have a lot of volunteers that help out for Wine and Food Festival because it is such a big event. And the biggest one of the year for us.
And let's talk about the Wine and Food Festival now.
Yeah.
Sunday.
So coming up June 2nd, it was voted the best charity event actually in Ventura County this last year by
Excellent.
VC Reporter. So that's exciting for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big event, and we bring in a lot of local restaurants and wineries and breweries. Actually, we have probably a few hundred vendors that come to provide samples of their food and beverages at the event. And then we have entertainment. We have a group called Boogie Nights coming. It's a funny 70s disco cover band. So that'll be fun. But tickets are on sale. We have regular general admission tickets and VIP tickets. We have our VIP lounge this year is sponsored by Wells Fargo, and so it's going to be really unique and special. They have their own entertainment and their own catering and a special VIP lounge. And then there's a private VIP entrance that is also sponsored by Mastro's Steakhouse. So guests will arrive and park in VIP parking and have a special entrance where they receive champagne and get to go into the event an hour early. It's really exciting. But yeah, tickets can be purchased on the website, actually, at cpwineandfoodfestival.com. And general admission tickets are also available online for $125 a person.
And what are the VIP tickets?
The VIP tickets are $200 per piece. And again, that gets you in an hour early and the VIP parking and access to the lounge. So that's a fun day for everyone. And yeah, we have some celebrity judges coming out as well. We have Oded, who is a television and movie actor. He was in a movie called The Mummy and The Mummy Returns. We have Chef William Bloxham Carter, who's the executive chef for the Playboy Mansion. And then who else? Oh, Sweet Arlene's. Arlene Scavone from Sweet Arlene's in Westlake, mm-hmm. who was a Cupcake Wars champion on Food Network. Mm-hmm. She'll be coming out as well.
And so, what's the timing?
The time, it's 12 o'clock. It opens to VIPs, and 1 o'clock it opens to general admission, and it goes until 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
So noon to 5 or 1 to 5, depending on what ticket you purchase.
Correct.
And, you know, a shout out to Mastro Steakhouse. They, if people haven't experienced them, it's an amazing place to go, but they are so good with the community. They really are.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so happy to hear they're involved. Well, Kristen, thank you for your time, and you're the event specialist with Casa Pacifica, and thanks for sharing the message.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome, and thank you again for Casa Pacifica and all the amazing work that they do. This is Maria Sanchez. Thank you for listening to the Maria Sanchez Show. I hope you're having a great morning.
Thank you for listening to the Maria Sanchez Show on LA Talk Radio and MariaSanchezShow.com. Live every weekday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific, and on the net at LATalkRadio.com and MariaSanchezShow.com.